Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Americana, A 400-Year History of American Capitalism by Bu Srinivasan is a narrative history of the United States that explains the country through the evolution of commerce, entrepreneurship, finance, and technological change, rather than presenting American history as a sequence of political events alone. The book shows how business formation and market expansion shaped colonial development, industrial growth, and modern innovation. Srinivasan moves from the Mayflower and the Virginia Company to railroads, steel, automobiles, media, Silicon Valley, and Wall Street, connecting episodes that are usually studied separately. The result is an accessible survey of how American capitalism emerged, changed, and adapted across four centuries. The book is designed for general readers, students, and business-minded audiences who want a broad, readable account of economic history without the density of a specialized academic study. Its purpose is not to defend capitalism in an abstract way, but to show how deeply it has influenced American society, institutions, and cultural identity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, American capitalism begins as a colonial system of risk, trade, and financing. The book starts by showing that American capitalism did not begin with factories or Wall Street, but with the financial and commercial arrangements that supported colonization. Srinivasan emphasizes entities such as the Mayflower Venture and the Virginia Company to show that the early colonies were built around investment, speculation, labor needs, and the search for returns. This perspective matters because it recasts the founding period as an economic experiment as much as a political one. The colonies were not simply settlements. They were organized around supply chains, land claims, commodities, and the management of risk. By beginning here, the book argues that the habits later associated with American business, including private initiative, opportunism, and adaptation to uncertainty, were present from the start. The early chapters, therefore, provide a structural foundation. For the rest of the book, capitalism is not treated as a late development imported into America, but as something embedded in the country's formation. That framing gives the book its distinctive historical angle and helps explain why commercial motives recur across later eras. Secondly, innovation drives each major phase of economic expansion. A central idea in the book is that American capitalism advances through repeated technological revolutions rather than through one continuous system. Srinivasan highlights moments when new tools, processes, or industries reorganized the economy and created new winners and losers. Railroads, steel, telegraphy, automobiles, and digital technologies are treated as turning points because each one changed how goods moved, how information spread, and how wealth was accumulated. The book is especially attentive to the way innovation becomes a social force, not merely a technical one. New industries require capital, labor, infrastructure, regulation, and public acceptance. This makes the story more than a celebration of invention. It shows how invention becomes economically meaningful only when institutions and markets can support it. By tracing these cycles across centuries, the book suggests that American capitalism is best understood as a sequence of reinvention rather than a stable model. That approach helps readers see continuity between old and new forms of entrepreneurship, from industrial magnates to technology founders, while also showing how each era produces its own form of disruption. Thirdly, entrepreneurs, financiers, and institutions co-create the economy. The book does not treat business history as the story of isolated geniuses. Instead, it shows that entrepreneurs operate within networks of capital, law, media, transportation, and political power. Srinivasan presents figures such as industrialists, inventors, financiers, and media builders as agents whose success depended on the institutions around them. This is one of the book's most useful analytical moves because it avoids reducing economic change to personality alone. American capitalism emerges as a system built through interaction between individual ambition and larger organizational structures. Banks, corporations, exchanges, patents, and distribution networks all matter because they make scale possible. The book also notes that these institutions do not merely enable growth. They shape which kinds of growth are rewarded and which actors are excluded or constrained. That creates a more realistic picture of capitalism as an evolving arrangement rather than a single idealized market. Readers come away with a clearer sense that major business breakthroughs require both initiative and infrastructure, and that the American economy has always been institutionally complex, not simply entrepreneurial in a narrow sense. Fourthly, the book links capitalism to American democracy, culture, and social change. Srinivasan frames capitalism as a force that shaped more than production and profit. He shows how economic development influenced social mobility, immigration, urbanization, consumer culture, and the wider meaning of American opportunity. This matters because the book is not just a business chronology. It is also a history of how commercial life affected the national identity. The repeated theme is that American capitalism helped create a society in which reinvention became culturally valued, but it also introduced inequality, conflict, and resistance. The book therefore avoids a simplistic triumphalist narrative. Instead, it presents capitalism as both enabling and destabilizing, generating broad prosperity while also concentrating power. By placing commerce alongside democracy, the book also raises a key historical question: how have markets and political ideals interacted in the American experience? The answer offered here is contingent and changing rather than fixed. That nuance makes the book more interesting than a standard business history, because it shows capitalism as part of the nation's social fabric rather than as a separate economic track running alongside it. Lastly, a narrative history approach makes a huge subject readable but necessarily selective. One of the book's defining features is its structure. Instead of building a single dense thesis, Srinivasan assembles a series of connected stories that move across four centuries. This method makes the book highly readable and useful for general audiences, but it also means the analysis is broader than it is deep. The strength of the format is that it lets readers see long-range patterns without getting lost in technical detail. The weakness is that some episodes receive limited space, and the book sometimes favors connection over exhaustive argument. That trade-off is important to understand because it explains both the book's appeal and some of the criticism it has received. Its value lies in synthesis. It organizes a massive historical field into a coherent and engaging panorama. At the same time, readers looking for a narrowly focused academic study or a heavily documented economic thesis may want something more specialized. The book stands out because it makes American economic history feel continuous, legible, and surprisingly interconnected, while accepting that broad narrative clarity comes at the expense of granular analytical depth. In conclusion, Americana is best suited for readers who want a broad, intelligent introduction to the history of American capitalism without the density of a specialist monograph. Business readers will find it useful for understanding how innovation, finance, and institutions have repeatedly reshaped the American economy. Students of history and economics can use it as a high-level map of major turning points, especially if they want to see how colonial trade, industrialization, consumer culture, and modern technology fit into one continuous story. General readers who enjoy narrative nonfiction will also appreciate its accessible style and its ability to connect seemingly unrelated episodes across centuries. What distinguishes the book from many similar histories is its scope combined with its storytelling method. It does not merely list eras or industries. It links them into a longer argument that American development has always been deeply commercial and entrepreneurial. Compared with more academic works, it is less technical and more readable. Compared with popular business books, it has greater historical range and a stronger sense of continuity. Its main value is conceptual. It helps readers understand the United States not only as a political project, but as a nation repeatedly shaped by markets, invention, and the institutions that make capitalism possible. If you would like to support Boo Srinivasan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.